101.3 KDWB celebrating 35 years of radio history. Bullet Bob Lang here, Chris Roberts, Mark Anderson. And, you know, before we take our turn and leave here, guys, I think we should thank the management, the program director of KDWB for inviting us here.
Isn't that fabulous?
You know, it's really...
Actually, we're not leaving.
You're not leaving yet.
Oh, not leaving yet? We got to keep on going?
Okay.
They'll drag us out here kicking and screaming.
This was, this is actually a program director's answer to what you do on the weekend.
Get a bunch of old jocks together and turn them loose.
It's songs that begin with vowels done by people that have traveled through the Twin Cities weekend. We're doing the 35 years of radio history.
Well, we've got a song coming up here next by the Monkees, and of course the Monkees were the marching band that the marching band took the field, the players took the field, but the marching band refused to yield. That's what it was all about. That was in Don McLean's American Pie, and of course the players were the actors that were the studio group, the Monkees, who in 1966 became such a big thing on television, and immediately the Last Train to Clarksville hit, and they eventually had like the number one song of 1967, I believe it was, I'm a Believer. Well, KDWB, the tradition of always getting the great groups and bringing them to town, we brought the Beatles here in 1965, had to have the Monkees here in 1967, had them over at the St. Paul Civic Center, but before we got them over to the Civic Center, what we did was we created Secret City on the 7th floor of the Cap Towers, and nobody knew where it was. We kept it a secret, and we moved the entire radio station to the 7th floor of the Cap Towers over there, and there the Monkees broadcast did something very much the same as this, cutting up on the radio and playing the tunes and remembering things they'd done, and Secret City, of course, was later discovered somehow. The kids discovered it, and there was a riot down there on the lower level, but the concert was such a hit that night, and the Monkees, of course, are a big part of musical history as much as KDWB is a part of radio history. The Monkees, Mickey and Davey and Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork, who I believe has family down in Faribault.
The Torkelsons down there. Jimmy. And the Osmonds.
And Chrissy and Buffy.
Okay. These are the Monkees at KDWB.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales.
KDWB. Celebrating 35 years of radio history. Bob Lang and Mark Anderson, Chris Roberts right here, and Sam Sherwood. We're all kind of gathered around the microphone here talking about some of the stunts that KDWB has pulled over the years and some of the promotions. And
we're talking about the KDWB Drag Festival, the River Raft Race, and I think the biggest mamu of all was the giant KDWB Christmas cookie exploded into something national.
We want to hear about it. Here's Sam with the story.
Here's the guy
that put the whole thing together.
Yep.
Let's see. My mind escapes me. What was this again? No. No, we started out. I remember we wanted a big promotion for Christmas, and I said, well, let's bake cookies. And so I said, I tell you what, let's pay $68 or $63 for the a pound for the largest cookie, and Don French says, nah, he said, we're going to get a cookie that's probably 10 pounds and, you know, $680. He said, geez, man. So I said, well, I tell you what, let's do $6.30. He said, oh, no, geez. He says, so finally we started off, and our first cookie came in, and it was 80 pounds. I called up Don. I said, wow, this 80-pound cookie came from the St. Cloud Reformatory. And the inmates baked it, and it came down on a truck. And I said, oh, my God, that's the biggest one. Well, we'll announce it's an 80-pound cookie. Well, the next day, a 240-pound cookie came in, and they just kept getting bigger and bigger. And the deadline came, and finally, I got a call from Bethel College, and the kid said, we got it up over 2,000 pounds. I said, are you kidding me?
Now, remember, these things, it had to be edible, right? I mean, the whole deal, you couldn't fake it or anything.
No,
you had
this had to be all edible. And finally, I said, the deadline. So they went and they weighed the truck, and then they came back and loaded the cookie on it and brought it to the weigh-in. And they wheeled that cookie. They were frosting it down 9th Street by the Fauchet Tower. And they came in, and I called Don, and I said, Don, we got a 2,300-pound cookie. At, he says, oh, my God. So the next day, we were trying to keep it secret from the home office in L.A., and it hit the front page of the L.A. Times, the cookie and Don French's picture. And they called and immediately fired Don. Don called me, and I said, Don, I'll take the hit. I'll take the hit. It was my idea. I'm done. I'm gone. I won't show up tomorrow. He says, no, no, no. He says, I'll resign. Well, eventually, that cookie laid in the rotunda at Shopper's City at the time of Kennedy's death.
And people would go by this thing, and it was like in reverence. Like they were looking, they were almost afraid to take a pit. There was no talking or point. There was a lot of pointing.
Yeah, but there was a legend laying
there. It was mostly, ooh. Yeah.
And then finally I got a call from the Gary Moore, I've Got a Secret show, and the kid that baked the cookie, he was flown to New York, and the cookie was picked up by a big cargo plane. And they took it to New York, and the thing was on national television, and finally wound up, they dumped it in Hudson Bay.
Right.
That was it. But that was jobs lost, bodies flying, blood draining.
What a promotion, though.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
That was great.
Excellent. Our tribal storyteller, Sam Sherwin, right there. And what's the great of gray-haired old Lou Waters, Rieger, to show up? Flew here from Atlanta on the airline for the elderly in Continental. Thank you, Lou.
Here's Sam and Dave.
And the hits just keep on coming. Remember 2020,
triple plays?
Fun stuff. Mark Anderson and Bob Lang and Harley Worthen right here about ready to surrender the microphone to a voice you'll no doubt remember from back in the early 70s, Chuck Buell. He's a hip-hop happening in the house kind of dude, now part of the number one program in the country, the Federal Witness Protection Program.
I'm only going to do this once, so everybody pay attention. What's the word?
Ridgedale, Rosedale, Southdale, Brookdale, and Mall of America.
KDWB celebrating 35 years of radio history. This is Mark Anderson along with Barry McKenna.
Can I say it just one time?
Yes.
KDWB.
Don't you just love it?
Oh, God, that feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, again, after all these years.
Wow.
Still crazy. We were going to talk about something that every radio station should have at least every 20 years, and that's a fire. And in 1969, KDWB burned down. This is out in Woodbury at original studio out there on Highway 12 and Radio Drive. And I remember it because I was due to be on the air that night at 6 o'clock. Ron Block was working the afternoon shift on Sunday. And the way we understand it is that Ron smelled something.
Ron was always
and Jack Walsh, the engineer, was out in the tower fields taking tower readings because he just switched power for the nighttime array.
Right.
And he went over into the in the transmitter room, and he saw smoke kind of circling around the ceiling over there. Like a true jock that he is, he went back and segued into the 2020 triple play jingle record without, you know, breaking format. And then he investigated some more. And then he found out that, hey, we're on fire. This is no kidding. Somebody call the fire department. And he put on Na Na Hey Hey Kiss Him Goodbye by Steam.
Which was so apropos, wasn't
it? Yes, and that was it. That was the fire.
If I remember right,
What fire?
What are you guys talking about? By the way,
Here's True Down Blue.
I'm Barry McKenna. You may know me by Barry Seward. Maybe you won't from years
ago.
The plethora of stations after this. But yeah, I remember you called me, Mark. I think you called me and told me that the station was on fire. I said, the station's on fire. And we drove out there. I think you were due on the air, weren't you?
Well, I just lived down in St. Paul, just down the road at the time. So, I was there quickly. Rob Sherwood actually saw the smoke and trucks, and he was nearby. So it was like a reunion. Everybody's there just watching the place burn down.
Well, as a matter of fact, you guys don't know this, and I was going to try to find it. It's somewhere in a storage room out in Eagan where I live now. But I've got some super...
Whereabouts in Eagan?
In the lower class area. I've got some Super 8 old movie that I have to transfer to videotape of you guys and me and Robbie Baby Sherwood right after the fire.
Cleaning up?
Cleaning up and running through this thing, and the ceiling's hanging down, and it's just incredible.
That night, Bob Reed, who didn't have a private pilot's license, but he told everyone he did, flew a bunch of company people down to Gates Radio in Peoria, Illinois, to pick up a new transmitter. and they hauled it back by trailer. They ripped Barry's office apart and put the transmitter back there.
Right.
And then we were on the air. That was a Sunday night, was a fire, and I think we were on the air on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, everybody showed up. Everybody helped to clean up. We had one guy, who's that, Fred Constance. Fred Constance was sort of the little butt kisser of,
yeah.
The president.
Freddie.
Yeah, of the president of the, at the time. Nobody ever knew
what he did. He bought sandwiches and coffee for everybody.
What he normally wore, though, was a three-piece suit at all times. So we said, we're going to clean up the station. Everybody come in and get ready because everybody's going to work. You're pushing brooms and everything. So dress, you know, put on your grungiest clothes and come down. So Fred showed up the next morning. He's got like a cashmere jacket instead of a three-piece suit and an ascot on, ready to sweep. Go sweeping, Fred.
I can remember going back in the transmitter room with the chief engineer was with Bill Dorweiler.
Yeah.
Remember Bill? One day he used to have hair that was greased back, you know, like a biker or something.
Right.
And then one day, about 1969, he showed up like he had a beetle wig on. You remember that? He had his haircut like a beetle.
The dry look.
Anyway, I remember going back in the transmitter room after the fire, about the night after, the day after, and taking pictures of it. And the needles on the transmitter were melted to the transmitter. Just incredible.
And when they finally hauled that Yates B-5 out of there, they hauled it out through the roof and rather unceremoniously dropped it out in the parking lot. So right now, in honor of this, in fact, Barry's got the original record right here.
I came out to the station right after the fire and grabbed it off the turntable there.
This is it. This is Steam.
Isn't that ironic? Yeah. Kiss him goodbye on KDWB. I want to say Barry Seward, but it is, I guess for now, Barry McKenna celebrating 35 years of radio history. I got True Don Blue to the left of me and Chuck Buell to the right of me. How you doing, guys? KDWB.
Good sense, ill sense, crippling mankind.
Celebrating 35 years of radio history. KDWB, hi, Barry McKenna here with True Don Blue and Chuck Buell. Chuck Buell, the man that fired me from KDWB on New Year's Day, 1973. Put her there, buddy.
Happy New Year once again.
I think that's probably the best thing that Chuck ever did.
Well, you know, it's just a thing. That's the way you feel about it.
What are you doing now, Barry?
Absolutely nothing, and that's why I had the time to come over here.
Still doesn't have a job.
Chuck, you flew in from Chicago, man.
That's right.
Good to see you.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. KDWB.
KDWB, Rolling Stones. They'll be in town. They're playing at the, I think they're playing at the Met, aren't they? In Bloomington.
I think it's Met Stadium.
Yeah, they're playing at Met Stadium in Bloomington. I hope you got good seats.
I remember your voice.
I've got one of the good seats. You know that? I got it at home. It's in my living room.
After all these years.
This is
Barry McKenna with True Don Blue and Chuck Buell. I just got to say, I grew up, you know, in St. Louis Park.
Mm-hmm.
And like growing up in St. Louis Park, as a little bitty kid to still a little bitty man that
Jewish?
I am. No, I'm not.
Oh, just checking.
But I had a lot of friends in the park, and as a matter of fact, I remember listening to like Lou Regert, and it was a pleasure to meet Sam Sherwood today, and always wishing I could work at KDWB. It was like a dream, you know, come true, and then it happened, you know. And always compared, we're talking about other radio stations, Ouija, WDGY, to KDWB.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the comparisons with, can we say it?
Yeah.
Johnny
Canton.
There you go. But over at Ouija, they were like, they always wore the suits and the ties and... And as a matter of fact, for a while, I think they had Nehru jackets. The KDWB was like the tough guys on the street.
You know what, though? We ended up in Nehru jackets also. We all had...
Did we?
When I first got there, they bought everybody a Nehru jacket. Mine was blue, and it had... Now, we were just talking about this the other night, because I had a blue, it's like the shiny stuff, and I had the cuffs that hung out, you know, the little ruffles.
Oh, really?
That I actually pinned in there. What a...
Oh, nice. Yeah. You were so trendy at the time.
It was such an attractive outfit. I couldn't stand it. No, but I saw a picture the other day where I'm emceeing something down at, was it Mr. Lucky? What was on Lake Street?
Mr. Lucky.
Mr. Yeah, Lucky. Yeah. But then it was something else afterwards. What did it become after
Mr.
Lucky?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm down there, and I am wearing plaid bell bottoms, platform blue and white shoes.
Remember those?
A red, white, and blue scarf around my neck, and a blue shirt with a collar that was about 74 inches long.
This was part of that Edwardian look that they had.
That foppish look.
But what's funny is, and every era will have this, the Nehru suit, and I remember it well too because it was such a trend-setting thing. I remember Johnny Carson coming out once wearing a Nehru suit, and to me at that time, I said, "That's it, I have to have one." Yeah. And I actually had to go. I mean, this is how ahead of the time I was. I had to go have one made. It's the only suit I ever went to a tailor to have. It's a Nehru suit. Mine, like yours, and I used to wear the white turtleneck because that was very
heavy. Oh, yeah.
And then the Nehru jacket. And I had the hugest big gold medallion, the Sammy Davis Jr. medallion that would go around, and you could tell time with it. It was like Big Ben swinging around.
I bet you look slick, man.
Oh, yeah. And I have my picture, too, and I think it's with Tommy James and the Shondells. And,
really?
It's hard to tell which one of us was the hippest for the room.
The reason I brought that whole dress thing up was that KDWB, though, always was like the guys that really got into the music.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
That's absolutely true.
That's why I wanted to work there.
We were there. And WDGY, you're right, was sort of the corporate station. They were the corporate rock and rollers, and we were the renegades.
And we're talking about them, but it's kind of fun. I remember the story you're talking about suits and all that the rumor was that when they went in on a day off, even to pick up a paycheck, they had to wear a coat and tie to get through the front door.
Slam Ouija!
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, we did then. Why not now?
Well, the good news is there a WDGY anymore?
No.
I think not. Is there a KDWB?
Yes, there you are.
Right. How long has it been here?
Forever.
A long time.
How long is it?
I think 35
Unbelievable.
Years.
Well,
by the way,
we want to
give a lot of credit to Tom Gehry and Mark Mulkey, the program director here at KDWB, as well as to Mark Coleman. They're the guys behind the scenes at this great radio station of 1994 that to help put all this folder all together.
Look out, here it comes.
Yeah,
don't blow this.
And of course, I owe them all money, but that's okay.
Don't blow this, Barry.
Okay.
KDWB.
I have to talk a little better and hit the post now.
Way.
Judy in the sky. I'll just take your glasses.
101.3 KDWB. Where this weekend you won't hear the usual programming.
Presently at 41 degrees on the Jackson Ross program, here's Johnny Rivers.
No, we haven't changed format.
KDWB, and I'm Chuck Mule. I got the music, and I got the money, and I got the winners.
We're celebrating our 35th anniversary.
From Channel 63 to 101.3.
You'll hear all the music and some disc jockeys you probably thought went on to get a real job. Well, they're back.
Stereo KDWB, AM St. Paul, Minneapolis, FM Richfield. Hi. How are you? I'm a true down blue. It's 3:00.
Join the party on KDWB this weekend and hear some radio you thought was gone forever. 35 years of playing the hits.
Playing the hits.
KDWB.
I work in an office Monday through Friday.
But account will be credited if paid by the January due date.
Harry McKenna. KDWB.
Wow! I don't even remember that. How you doing? Chuck Mule and Barry McKenna back again, celebrating 35 years of radio history at KDWB on the weekend. Oh, yeah. Help me now.
Get your motor running.
Thanks for listening to KDWB. I'm Barry McKenna. Stick around. Loads of great names from the past and present coming up.
Sugar.
Celebrating 35 years of radio history, Barry McKenna and friends at KDWB. I got to say hi real quick here to my daughter Tiffany, who's working on Negan at 1 Hour Martinizing with her friends. She's probably the best KDWB listener there is in the Twin Cities right now. And Tom Gehry, by the way, she wants about 5 T-shirts, okay? KDWB, hi.
Hi, Barry.
Hi.
This is Scott Hansen. How you doing?
Scott, how are you doing, man?
Fine, thanks.
Good to talk to you.
Where did McKenna come from? A movie called McKenna's Gold or something?
No, actually, I spelled it McKinna back then, and it was my wife's mother's maiden name twice removed or something. I can't remember, something like that. So it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, does the station get together today? Huh?
And the station sounds a little bit different, maybe, huh?
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah, folks out there in Radio Land, I just want to tell you, if it wasn't for Barry, I wouldn't be at radio.
Oh yeah, where are you right now, Scotty? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm listening to you guys. just having a good day.
Well, I'm glad you've got a good position. All right, KDWB.
From Channel 63 to 101.3.
Celebrating 35 years of playing the hits.
KDWB-FM, Richfield, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
It's 12 high noon, and it's great to be back. KDWB. Chuck Buell, you got it all. And with all the great hits that we're remembering, I mean, you put 35 years into this one weekend. It's almost too much to take. Remember this? How can you forget? Jackson 5, and I want you back. KDWB, Don Blue, Barry McKenna, Chuck Buell, The Zombies. Oh, wait a second. That didn't come out exactly the way I wanted to do, did it?
It's the top of the season.